the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Morning Podcast. Chad Millman, Square or Sharps, around the corner. First, though, time for fake questions, real answers. I got things I want to talk about. I don't want to wait for you to ask me the question. Dear Colin, I bet you have more to say on the John Gruden situation, don't you? Yeah, I do. It really showed how arrogant and dumb Gruden is. I always say this about bank robberies. There's a lot of crimes, but a bank robbery is especially stupid. You have to plan it, set up the car, circle the bank for a couple of weeks to figure out surveillance, when's the best time, figure out your escape route, have to grab a partner, multiple meetings. There's a big difference from a convenience store, had too many cocktails, in the moment grab a Twinkie and make a run for it. But a bank robbery takes thought and planning, and no time during the process you don't think, wow, I could go to jail. These usually don't work. It's the same with John Gruden. The stuff he said for 7 years in that email. When you're sending an email, you think about what you're going to say. That didn't bother him. You phrase it, you type it, you send it. That didn't bother him. It's a multi-part process. At many points, you could stop and say, this is egregiously, outrageously racist. It's unbelievable. John Gruden, frankly, not only a bad guy, he failed a basic IQ test for 7 years. Dear Colin, don't you feel the Brooklyn Nets deserve some blame here for getting themselves into the Kyrie business to begin with? Listen, I said this about a month, 2 months ago. Kyrie Irving, and I said this last year too, is the only star in my life in the NBA that I would trade for bench players. There's much more value getting out of something bad early than seeing what you can eventually rescue from it. Kyrie disappeared last year from the team for 2 weeks. That should have been the end. Daryl Morey, GM Sixers, I like him. Ben Simmons and Embiid did not work 2 years ago. He wouldn't work on his shot in the offseason. Stop trying to win trades and focus on retaining the value of your locker room. You do not have to be great to get to the conference finals, but you almost always have to have a workable and functional locker room. Kevin Durant and James Harden, Blake Griffin, Patty Mills, that's good enough to get to the finals. Not saying it will, but it's good enough. What are you waiting for with Ben Simmons? Same with the Browns and Odell Beckham. It doesn't work. There's data. Pivot off it. He doesn't fit the city or the Browns' future. Dear Colin, I enjoyed your interview with Cardinal GM Steve Keim yesterday. Lots of interesting moments. He said that he considered free agency fool's gold. What did you think of that? Well, if you go and Google it, that works. Only about 33 to 35% of free agents are deemed successful. Now, there are certain positions that are more successful than others. But I look at it like I look at buying a used car. You don't really know the odometer, right? The people that know the car bought it and owned it. So there are little secrets to any house that you've purchased, little secrets to any car that you've purchased. It's the same when you draft a player. You scout a player for years, you draft a player, he's in the system for 5 or 6 years. Free agency, generally, you should always seek value because the hit rate, like the draft, is so low. There is real value in bargain shopping for anything that's used. A car, a house, a particular employee. There's just certain things you don't know about a player you didn't scout and draft. So the key is the bargain shopping. Make sure you get free agents at the right price. And that usually means wait for about a week and get the secondary free agents. They're always better value. Dear Colin, who's the most underrated head coach in the NFL? You know, it's strange to say he's underrated, but I think it's Andy Reid, and let me give you an example. Belichick without Brady and Pete Carroll without Russell Wilson. They'll both wear a gold jacket. They'll go to Canton. Defensive-minded coaches, even if they're brilliant like Belichick and Carroll, are very quarterback-dependent. If you look at Belichick's record without Brady and you look at Pete Carroll's without Russell Wilson, you have a combined under 500 record and coaches fired three times. Andy Reid never had a great quarterback like Russ or Brady until Mahomes. He had Alex Smith, Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, Nick Foles. Reid's career record with Mahomes is 78%. But without Mahomes, his record is 183-122. Reid just became the only coach ever to win 100 games with two teams. Sean McVay got Jared Goff to a Super Bowl. Matt Nagy got Mitch Trubisky to the playoffs. The perfect combination for Super Bowls may very well be great defensive coach, Tony Dungy, Belichick, Mike Tomlin, Pete Carroll, with a Hall of Fame quarterback. But I would argue an offensive-minded coach, if he's brilliant, McVay, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, will win you more games and be less reliant on the great quarterback. And that's why I think Andy Reid has to be considered in the same breath with the Bill Belichicks. Belichick without a star quarterback, fired and a losing record. Pete Carroll without a star quarterback, fired twice and a really bad record. Andy Reid without a star quarterback, wins 60% of his games, got to a Super Bowl and five NFC championships. All right, Chad Millman, every Friday, Chief Content Officer of the Action Network. I went 3-3 last week on my Blazing Five. I had my biggest bet of the year was the Rams over the Seahawks. My second biggest bet of the year was Bills over Kansas City. And then I swam around and I refused to bet the Dolphins the rest of my life. Jesus. I've been burned this year by the Lions twice and the Dolphins twice. My bad. That's on me, honestly. You get to a point where that's on me. But let me start with this, Millman. I'm going to give you the games I like. I do not like the Lions this week. I don't think they're great. I really do not like the Lions at all this week. And my instincts on this, when I don't like the Lions, I haven't had a great deal of success. And I've loved the Lions this year, and I haven't had success. So I don't know what to make of this, but I'll start with a game I like. The Browns outplayed the Chargers, a very good team in Los Angeles. A bad PI call really is the reason they lost. They're now only a 3-point favorite at home. Arizona gets to go outside, gets to go on the road. Kyler didn't participate in all the practices this week. I think San Francisco gave them a little example of how to play Kyler Murray as they bracketed him with a strong pass rush. Browns have the same ability to do that. I think the Browns win. It's Arizona's first loss. I'm comfortable saying it. I think Cleveland's a pretty good football team that really outplayed the Chargers for a big chunk, and we all love the Chargers. I'm taking Cleveland -3. Sharp or square?
Sharp side. Very interesting game. Before we get to that, let me just say one thing. Love the Lions this week. Loved the Lions.
So do I. I love the Lions this week. I do too. It's one of my favorite bets.
Plus 3.5. Loved them. It's now at 3. I would take the Lions on the money line, honestly. This team is knocking on the door. They're so much better than I thought they would be. So much more physical. Yeah. They don't know how bad they are. And so they keep themselves in every game. I think this is a great spot for them against a team that is probably overinflated in the Bengals. But that's a bonus game for everybody. 100% the right side on the Browns. And this is a really interesting game. At 7:30 last Sunday, as the Cards struggled to finish off the Niners, and as the Browns lost that thriller to the Chargers that you just mentioned, this line was Cleveland -4.5. It got beat down really, really heavily, down to 3, right? On Monday, it got down to 2.5. And then professional bettors started buying it back in. And I heard that a professional group, you know, there's a lot of people that bet as groups, as professionals in Vegas. And they pool their money, they pile in on a side, they're known as syndicates. Bookmakers know who they are. Nothing illegal about it. They're big name bettors in Vegas and throughout the country, right? Yeah. They move the number back up to 3. And so this has been a sentiment that the Browns are the better team, with a superior defense, a running game that is playing, and better defense and better running game that is playing at home. to get them at less than a field goal or even at the field goal is great because you are getting the team that a lot of people think is better to basically win the game on a kick. Now, layer in, probably going to be 20-mile-per-hour winds in Cleveland. Layer in that Kyler Murray has some shoulder injuries. Layer in that this is a running team and the Cards are allowing more than 5 yards per carry, 31st in the NFL. I think you're on the right side here. The Sharps agree with you.
Another game I like. So I'm going to acknowledge I like the Lions plus 3.5 at the Bengals. It was my second favorite bet. I've been burned by them twice. I think Dan Campbell's speech, I think they're actually playing pretty good football. I think they had an excellent Baltimore team beat. This is not a terrible team. They have holes in their defense, and I don't think the Bengals physically, I don't know if they physically match up. I think Detroit's a really physical football team. I think they're going to win this game outright. You know, it's funny. As much as I like Cincinnati, they've had some good fortune this year, and they will score. They have a trio of excellent receivers. Jamar Chase is the real deal. But Cincinnati, you saw it multiple times with Green Bay. They're not there yet. They're just not there yet. They had it that game won twice. They couldn't win it. So I'll just say this. Detroit, plus 3.5, money line. I agree, they win. Why do you like them?
I like it because of everything you just said, and there's overinflation on the Bengals, right? A lot of the time when you're betting, you're thinking about, what am I seeing on the field? What are the matchups like? And certainly, like you mentioned, the Lions, very physical team. Their defensive line against a Cincinnati Bengals offensive line that is one of the reasons why they struggled late in the game against the Packers. And it's one of the reasons why their games are closer than they should be when they have someone like Joe Mixon who's playing great. Joe Burrow is playing great. Three receivers who are outstanding, right? Their offensive line is still patchwork and not playing very well, and they give up a lot of pressure, and that challenged Joe Burrow. I think that at the end of the day, you're talking about the market conditions here indicate that you were getting value on the Lions at plus 3.5. It's been bet down to 3. I still like the Lions at plus 3. Like you said, we both like them on the money line. Cincinnati is benefiting from beating Minnesota, being competitive in a high-profile spot against the Packers, a big win against the Jaguars in a comeback spot on Thursday night in a primetime game. So I think there's just the value to be had.
All right. One of my favorite bets, one of my few favorite bets I like the Steelers minus 4.5. So what you're asking Geno Smith to do, who his career completion percentage under 60%, losing quarterback, you're asking him to carry a horrible defense on the road over a Pittsburgh team that's offensive line and running game appears to be syncing up at least a little. With Russell Wilson, this is a winnable game. You cannot ask a backup, and not a great backup, not a top five backup, with a terrible defense to travel cross country against an excellent defense. This is a bad spot for Seattle. Now, Russell Wilson and the Seahawks do very well traveling to the Eastern time zone. They always have. Geno Smith couldn't win when he lived out east. This is way too big of an ask. I like Pittsburgh to win by a touchdown.
So I did not know Geno Smith was still in the league until he took the field a week ago. Okay. And also, you're 100% on the right side. The Sharps bet this game at 4.5. It's now at 5.5. Is there still value at 5.5? Probably, for everything you just said. The Steelers have looked washed a couple times this season offensively, and especially Ben Roethlisberger, right? He has just looked old, and even this past weekend in a win against the Broncos, like he was banged up, he was wincing, he was holding his arm, his hand, whatever. They did one thing really well this week. They ran the ball, like you just said. And it wasn't just running the ball well. It was running the ball with a physical offensive line that was getting one-on-one matchups, pushing people off the line of scrimmage. Najee Harris averaged 1.7 yards per carry before contact, right? So this wasn't the zone blocking that they had been working on the first few weeks of the season. This was smash mouth, in-your-face run blocking. So I think even at 5.5, the Steelers are still the right side because the Broncos are a lot better than the Seahawks, and the Steelers will be able to manhandle this defense. And Geno Smith doing well, getting a little hype, coming off the bench and sort of trying to lead that team down the field is one thing. Doing it against a pressure raid defense like this, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, Geno Smith is not going to be able to handle that pressure.
College football season's in full swing. You can make every moment more with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, all customers, all of them, get a $10 parlay bet bonus. Just place a $20 parlay bet, $20 parlay bet, get a $10 bonus, win or lose. I like Texas to win and cover the spread against Oklahoma State. The Cowboys' offense is weak. Texas will score points. Miami at Carolina. I like Carolina to cover. I think Miami's in disarray as a program. Alabama bounces back, beats Mississippi State, even though they're on the road, covers the 17.5-point spread. College football, how good is this year been? Just unbelievable. Build your parlay bet any way you like with spreads, money lines, over and unders. Pick two out of three. FanDuel Sportsbook, easy to use. There's live betting. It's easy to place your bet faster in a game if you see a trend you like. Fast withdrawals when you win. FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. There's odds, boosts, and specials. Are you new to the FanDuel Sportsbook? Sign up today. The promo code's COLIN to receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Promo code COLIN so they know I sent you. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $10 plus $400 final price or longer required. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. I don't like big favorites. There are exceptions. If I get a really good coach off a bye or an extended week. So I get the Rams -9.5 at the Giants. They played on Thursday extra time. The Giants are falling apart physically. Almost all on the offensive side. Generally speaking, the Giants are a better road cover than a home cover. This is the rare 9.5-point favorite. I didn't like it at like 10.5, but at 9.5, McVay has never lost a game when leading at half, 40-0. 10 days, so what you're going to ask potentially is if Glennon plays a backup coming back against a really good pass rush. That's what we could see here. Backup, trailing, excellent defense. I think I like the Rams to win and cover here.
So it's not a sharp play. It's never going to be a sharp play to bet a good team getting 80% of the money as a massive road favorite. That is like not just a not sharp play. That is the definition of a square play. And for that reason alone, the wise guys are basically just passing this game. They don't know who's playing quarterback. You don't know who's playing running back. You don't know what's happening with the wide receiver core. I mean, that what happened with the Giants, I love the Giants this past weekend against the Cowboys. And then before the first half was over, you lost your starting quarterback, your starting left tackle, your starting running back, your number one wide receiver, and you were already down your 2 and 3 wide receivers. So you don't know what you're getting with this team. You don't want to bet a road favorite at nearly double digits. So it's largely a pass. I understand why you're doing it, but you're not going to get any sort of support from the sharp betting side.
Okay, now I go to my dogs. Because my favorite plays were the Browns, the Lions, and the Steelers. Now I go to my dogs and I want to test the market. So I would take New England +4 or +3.5. Here's why. So they're losing at home, but they're losing close. Mac Jones is efficient, completing 72% of his throws. They were missing 4 out of their 5 offensive linemen against the Texans. They actually scored, I think, on 3 drives in a row at the end. So they come back healthy. Dallas is the only team in the league that has not played poorly. Everybody has a game when they pull back. This is your classic pullback team. I don't know if New England wins, but if you can get 4 points to me, this feels like a little bit of a coaching mismatch. New England is now healthier. Every game for Mac Jones, he feels a little more comfortable. And the Dallas defensive line is still hit and miss and banged up. I think I'd take the Patriots +4, even at +3.5.
Totally the sharp side in this game. It opened at 4.5. Wise guys hit it pretty hard. It got bet down to 3.5. 80% of the bets coming in on the Cowboys right now. All the signals are lining up to say bet the Patriots. What I would say is now that it's a 3.5, you might want to wait until Sunday, because while the wise guys are hitting it at 4, you're probably going to get a chance to see if it gets there again when the public comes in even harder on Sunday before this game. And bookmakers have no choice but to move the line up to 4. So that way the wise guys can come in and take it at 3.5. Because the liability for bookmakers, I know it's complicated, but they want their money spaced out, right? And if there's too much money coming in on the Cowboys at 3.5, they're going to have no choice but to move this line up to 4 just to balance it a little bit. Bookmakers don't mind making bets. They like having a winning side. It's how they increase their handle. But they'll be too overloaded on the Cowboys at 3.5. They'll have to move it up to get some balance. This is the all overrated, all overinflated game, right? Cowboys, 5-0 against the spread. The pros basically have this power rated at 3. So there's still a little bit of value here. But this Cowboys team, like, the turnover differential is due for aggression. Their success on first and second downs is due for aggression. The Cowboys' run defense, still not very good. Bottom 5 in pressure rate, right? The one thing that Mac Jones has a hard time handling as a rookie quarterback is pressure. So you've got a run defense against a team that likes to run the ball. You've got a defensive line that can't pressure the quarterback against a quarterback who doesn't struggle when he's not getting pressure. So yes, Patriots are the right side.
All right, here's another one. Chargers plus 3 at the Ravens. I would take Los Angeles. Here's why. The Ravens were outplayed for about 3 quarters against the Colts. Now, the reason Lamar, one of the reasons Lamar had so much success playing from behind is the Colts secondary was a mess. Well, the Chargers, not only do they have Derwin James this year, but Asante Samuel is playing at a Pro Bowl level. So you forget the Colts really controlled this game in Baltimore for 2 hours, for 2 to 2.5 hours. The Chargers secondary playing with a lead is pretty darn good. You have a good pass rush. You have a great rookie corner. You have maybe the best safety in the game. I also think the Ravens, shorter week, coming off a dramatic win, standalone win, dramatic style, slightly overvalued. I take the Chargers and the points.
So the Ravens are the sharp side here. Couple different reasons. It's a really good team with a really good defense playing at home. And similar to the Cowboys, there's a little bit of overinflation on the Chargers. There's also a little bit of expected regression for the Chargers. Like, the Chargers have been living on a success rate of third and long of 58%. Okay? On fourth down, they're 8 for 8 in certain situations. Like, this is not sustainable, especially against a defense like the Ravens that can get pressure. It can get pressure when it's blitzing. It can get pressure when it isn't blitzing. And the Chargers consistently go for it when they're on third and long and fourth and long. And I don't think that's going to fly with a Ravens team that knows how to get out of those third and long, fourth and long situations. But also think about this. And this is where it gets very specific. This is a 3-point spread, right? The understanding is that this is going to be a close game. In a close game, do you want a kicker on the Chargers who not only is struggling to make field goals, is struggling to make PATs. Extra points versus a kicker for the Ravens who's one of the greatest kickers in NFL history? So you have special teams disadvantage. You've got a home team as a short favorite. You've got a really good defense. And the Ravens do have a really good running game, and the Chargers are terrible at stopping the run.
That's good. All right, Bears plus 4.5, I'd take them. It's not one of my favorite bets, but Bears plus 4.5 has value. So now Justin Fields is getting all the snaps. I mean, I think we've come to the point with Green Bay. They were outplayed for a half at home by Detroit. They were outplayed for much of the game by Cincinnati. They were blown out by the Saints. They are totally dependent on Devontae Adams, overwhelmingly dependent in their passing game on one player. Well, the Bears get a pass rush. Bears playing better. There's a juice with Justin Fields and an unpredictability. When quarterbacks are young, you may have a limited package, but their ability to disrupt the defense by going off script and running Trey Lance did it a couple times against Arizona. It was a very limited package. It can be difficult to defend, and I think at this point, Justin Fields is way better than Trey Lance. I thought this was one of the easier dog plays. It's not popular, but Green Bay is really not thumping anybody. They needed two great passes to escape San Francisco. They were outplayed at home by Detroit for a half. I think the easy side here is Chicago plus 4.5.
It's icky. That's the problem. And betting means doing icky things sometimes because this is a Bears team that 2 weeks ago, Matt Nagy looked like one of the most obnoxious, ill-equipped coaches in the NFL. And then all of a sudden, Urban Meyer and John Gruden, you know, changed the game and made him just look like a bad coach, right? But this Packers team is the only team in the league that is 4-1 and has a negative point differential.
That's hard to do. By the way, last year, we've seen this with them. Last year, despite their glossy record, their point differentials, it was just like one of the lower ones. Cleveland, by the way, last year got to the playoffs. I think they had a negative point differential. It does mean something.
Oh, yeah. They're a good reputation. They're not a good team. Okay. And also, their defense is terrible against the rush, 29th against the rush. The past 2 weeks, since Matt Nagy gave up play calling and gave it to Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator, the Bears are running the ball 65% of the time the past 2 weeks, and they are max protecting Fields. So what you're getting is a quarterback who all of a sudden isn't getting the crap beat out of him. He's getting supported in a running game. And then on top of that, the Bears' pass rush is pretty fierce, right? They're leading the league in sacks against a Packers offensive line that is still not whole because they've got some injuries. So it's a icky one to do, but you kind of have to take the Bears at plus 4.5.
I don't have a feel for this game. I'm terrible at pick'em games or one-point spreads. What would you do with Vikings at the Panthers? I don't have a feel.
You know how the past couple of weeks, you brought up games like, you know, the Raiders and the Bears. And I'm like, please walk away. And then you brought up the Colts and the Dolphins. I'm like, there's 8 million games to bet on. Why would you bet on the corner TV game? This is kind of one of those games. Like, this is one of those games, like, there's no consensus. The wise guys are like the American people here. Like, they cannot agree on anything. And, like, the truth is, make whatever decision you want to make because you can find the numbers to back it up. Do you take a short home dog with a really good defense in Carolina? Do you fade a spotty QB in Sam Darnold, who is starting to bring back the old habits? Can he's thrown 5 picks in the past 2 games? Do you want to bet on a Vikings team that has consistently found ways to put themselves in a position to lose, like against Cincy, against Detroit, against Arizona? So to me, it's a pass. Like, any way you look, you're going to find an opportunity to find the answer you want. I'm all about betting miserable. I'm all about being uncomfortable. Do yourself a favor. Walk away from this one.
All right. Give me the game we did this last week that I haven't touched on that you find fascinating.
I think, let's see here. The Raiders.
Bills at Titans, Titans plus 5.5.
Titans plus 5.5, like, that's a really cool game. It's interesting. You know, we'll do the favorites. I'll do it with Simon Hunter, who's a professional bettor. Every single Thursday, we will do a segment called Sharp Calls. We'll do the podcast on Tuesday. We'll do it again on Thursday. Between Tuesday and Thursday, Simon gets calls from all his wise guy buddies. And they'll say, you're right on this game. You're wrong on this game. You're crazy on this game. He talked about liking the Bills. He got all these calls from the professional bettors. You're crazy. The Titans are the right side here. 5.5 point underdogs, right? 80% of the money on the Bills. A huge road favorite. Overinflated in every sense of the word. I'm against Simon on this. I'm with the other wise guys on this. The Titans, to me, are the right side in this game. There's been a lot of conversation about that. How can it not? It's a high-profile game, a primetime game with the Bills, who right now, like, they're the number one power-rated team in the NFL. And other than the Bucs, they're the only team with Super Bowl odds that are less than 6-1. The other game that is really interesting to me, Las Vegas Raiders, 3.5 point underdogs against the Denver Broncos. How do you not bet the Raiders in this spot? The game is really power rated in a much different direction. Like, there's about 2.5 points of value on the Raiders in this game. The Broncos have proven to not be as good as we thought they were. They were beating up on bad teams early in the year. There is a lot of evidence to tell you when you want to bet a team, it's when they've just fired their coach and they're in a rally spot. So to me, betting the Raiders, it's worth a little bit of a taste if you've got the stomach for that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, well, I told you I have three games I love. I love the Steelers to win and cover. I love the Lions. I love the Browns. I don't have, and I probably will go pay. I said I liked the Patriots. I would wait to try to get a better number. So I don't have a fifth game for Blazing Five. So what I may say is I kind of like Tua coming back playing for the Dolphins -3 at the Jaguars. I don't know if the Jaguars have quit. You know, it's funny. I read a line the other day. I thought it was very interesting. They said Urban Meyer didn't lose the locker room because Urban Meyer didn't have the locker room. And it's like, Miami's offensive line is struggling, but the Jags don't get a pass rush. Do they get a little infusion with Tua coming back and playing? Do you take the Dolphins to win and cover the spread? Where do you land on that?
This is one of those games where historically you bet on the Jaguars. And you and I, we've been talking about betting in some capacity, television, radio, podcasting, whatever, for 10 years. I'm willing to bet if someone went back and logged every single conversation we've ever had, more often than not, I would say the wise guys like the Jags in this spot because they're always going to be undervalued because they're always a bad team and there's always going to be inflation on whoever they're playing. So the game opened at 3.5. It's been bet down to 3. I'm off the Jags. Like every indicator, every stat is that you should be on the Jags in this game. The Dolphins in both rushing and passing defense, on both sides of the ball, and offense and defense, they're in the lower quartile of the league in every statistical measure. Tua is not that much better than Jacoby Brissett. And the truth is, James Robinson has probably been one of the better, more efficient backs in the NFL this year. And the Jags aren't terrible at running the ball. So if you can get by Urban Meyer never having the locker room and not really being able to coach at the NFL level, and Trevor Lawrence guaranteed to make 1, 2, 3 mistakes that a rookie is going to make, then you bet the Jags here. But even I don't have the stomach for this at this point because this game will be disgusting. And even though the Jags are the right side, the Urban Meyer factor, I think actually it overwhelms the precedent.
Well, my take has always been, so let me connect the dots of my childhood.
Okay.
This is why I struggle to bet bad teams. Now, I'll bet the Lions in the first couple of weeks because I don't know how bad they are. So when I was a little kid in school, my teacher, my favorite teacher, Mrs. Blum, she had a crush on her, redhead. I married a redhead. I should have known at an early age I like redheads.
By the way, so did I. First crush, redhead.
So she said in one of my early report cards, he's a great student, but he's not efficient with his time. He's a time waster. And that always stuck with me. I'm wasting time. And then years and years later, I had a friend in Portland named Michael Goldman. And he never ate snacks. And I said, why do you do that? He goes, you're wasting calories. So I'm not good at doing things. I'm good at not doing things or stopping things. So the point in both of those discussions is why waste time? So what is interesting, Chad, if anybody knew me, I am really, as an adult, very time efficient. I mean, my schedule is just stacked, 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 and unless I go on vacation. So my point being is between the calorie comment and Mrs. Blum, who I had a crush on, I don't like wasting time. And I feel like betting on shitty teams forces me to watch junk and I'm wasting time. So that is why I struggle. Like when you would push the Jaguars on me, I couldn't bet the Jets 2 weeks ago, even though I knew it was a great play. Is that my blind spot as a gambler, and I'm not a professional, obviously, I'm a total square. I would say I'm a square with an occasional sharp tendency, but I'm a square. Everybody's got a blind spot, right? Belichick can't draft skill people. You know, everybody's got a blind spot. My blind spot as a gambler is I just can't bite on praying a crappy team, even if the number is right. I bet the Giants that week and won because I don't think they're bad. I think they're well coached. I do not think they're a bad football team. I can't bet the Jets. I can't bet the Jags. And that's why I think I'm betting the Lions this week. I don't think they're a terrible team. I think they're a rebuilding team that has a great deal of physicality and belief in their coach. So that's my point on the Jags. I struggle to bet on off because I have to watch and root for a lousy team. That's my blind spot.
All right. That's fair. Like you, if you ask my kids right now, what do I like more than anything else? They would say efficiency and competency. There's no romance. That's just what I
yep.
appreciate in people and in my life more than anything else. Efficiency and competency. The flip side of this is, because you're right, I'm not betting on efficient teams. I'm not betting on competent teams. But there's also a satisfaction in uncovering what is efficient and competent in what is otherwise something that is incredibly ugly, and then being able to be right about that. And I think at the end of the day, this is what's surprising to me, is like, you like to be right. You like to stir the pot. You like to prove your point. There is no better measure of proving your point than betting on the teams no one else wants to bet on and making money off that. That's the ball game. And like, that's not a waste of time to watch those teams. That's the investment you put in. So in a week, when you know it's the spot to smash the Lions, you feel good. You can talk about it on Blazing 5, and people are going to be like, Colin's right. This week, we did a clip of our podcast, of the podcast that we're doing right now, where you talked about loving the Bills plus 3, right? Loving them. And for 3 days before that game, more than any comments, I don't know if more than you've gotten, but more than I've gotten about doing this podcast, it was people coming after you and hating your take on the Bills. And even after, people are still, I'm still getting like tagged in comments about how much they hated your take on the Bills. But you were fucking right. Spot on. And so that's why you put in the time. That's where the gratification comes. That's why it's not a waste. That's when it feels good to be right.
By the way, I'm noticing as I look at us on camera, I look like a magician. Look at this dark. I look like, do I look like a magician?
No, I was actually noticing, I think you got a haircut and it looks fantastic.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Let's do a magic. You want to do a magic trick?
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
Think of a number between 1 and 50.
Okay.
Well, I don't care what the number is.
I got it.
Double it.
Okay.
Add 22.
Got it.
Cut it in half.
Okay.
Take away the very first number you thought of from what you currently have.
Okay.
And you have 11.
No way. No way. Hold on. I'm circling it so you can see it. Can you see that?
Hey, Cowherd the Magnificent.
Colin the Magnificent in his super duper magician shirt just wowed me. Oh, that's incredible.
Okay. Well, it's something.
Nothing, no time wasted there, my friend. That was pure, entertainment.
Okay, you Millman, you have a great weekend, buddy.
All right, brother. Talk to you later.
All right, I got to find my fifth pick for the Blazing 5. Great stuff. Check us out on the YouTube channel, Volume Instagram, The Volume Sports. The Volume Sports, it's great. It's fun. It's every week. Got a big week coming up, too. At The Volume Instagram, rate, review, subscribe. Don't forget, Saturday morning, Prime Cut. See you then.
The Volume.